Hi there, we really hope you enjoy this teaching from the Message Trust. To find out more about all the exciting things we're doing, check out our website, message.org.uk.
It's so good to gather. It's brilliant to gather. It's important we gather. Satan loves to isolate people and peck away. But when we're in Christian communities, a lot less chance we're going to fall. But however, this isn't. If you do any diagnostic tools around Christians who are really going for it, who are all out for Jesus, you know what the key thing is? It's not even actually the key, the number one thing. Clearly really important, the praying, it's really important they're involved in mission, really important they're engaged in church and meet with Christians. You know what the most important, number one thing for Christians who are really going for God? It's regular personal Bible study. Regular personal Bible reading is the key thing. And I just want that to sit for a moment with you and just allow the Holy Spirit to convict you about how committed are you to regular personal Bible reading. Reading it not because you've got to prepare something, just reading it because you love the Word of God and you believe this is living and active, and it changes us when we read this book with an open heart. So I felt a way to say that, because you know, it's great that we get together. It's important we get together, but this is not enough. And if you're not involved in committed to regular personal Bible reading, you're an accident waiting to happen. Because the Lord's given us his word to change us, to transform us, to renew us. And it will allow the Holy Spirit to do that work. It strengthens us, the Bible. You see, we're a people, aren't we, I think, and who are longing for that Rhema word, that now word. And we've had a few. We were sharing some on Saturday. We've got this Isaiah 43. It was when the word of God became living to us. It was directional for us. We've got Psalm 37. We've got Isaiah 60. I think you've probably got yours, and you will have around this room, times when the Bible's just like illuminated, and it was amazing, and it was for me, and it was helping me move forward. But we want the Rhema word. We've got much more chance of getting the Rhema word if we go after the Logos word, the living word. We just read the Bible because it's true. Do you understand what I'm saying? Much more chance that God will just bring something to life when it's ready and inspire it. And it's just the Holy Spirit revealing things through his word. So we need to be people of the word. And you got to love 2 Timothy 3:16, especially in light of, you know, all this here I am talk at the moment. All scripture is God-breathed. You know this verse, I'm sure. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, God has good works planned in advance for you to do. That's the whole heartbeat of these Here I Am materials. God's got a plan for your life. He's got a good works plan for you. Yours are different to mine. We do some of them together, but God has bespoke good works. And the Bible equips us for how many of those good works? All of them. Every good work. Without getting serious about scripture, we're never going to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's got an amazing plan for your life. The Bible, as we not just get into the Bible, allow the Bible to get into us, will change us. What a precious gift. The people down the centuries have been burnt at the stake and locked away and passed around one handwritten scruffy page of the Bible at risking their lives in doing so. And we can take it, be so flippant, can't we, sometimes? So God, speak to us this morning, would you, through the word. And I have this joy at the moment of just choosing my favourite passages. And you probably heard Sam speak a few months ago. It's taken a long time, this Luke thing. It's worse than me and Isaiah. But you probably heard Sam talk about out of Luke chapter 2. But I felt drawn towards Luke chapter 2 anyway. Now, maybe God will give me some different little insights. But the first words that we hear from Jesus' mouth in the Bible, in fact, the only words we hear between the age of 0 and 30. We know so little about Jesus. I mean, apart from this, we pretty much know all that happened is he just grew in favour with God and man. We're meant to be people who grow in favour. We grow in favour, so when the time's right, we hit the ground running. When the time's right for God to take us to the next level or open up the next level, we've just grown in favor. So, you know, Jesus grew in favor day by day with God and man. And all we have in terms of his life growing up as a young man is this one incident, of course, apart from the baby, the birth of Jesus, in Luke chapter 2. And it's absolutely fascinating. Let me just read a few verses. Jesus at the temple. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Have you ever thought Jesus was 12 years old? The living God left heaven and came to earth and he grew up. You ever thought Jesus got zits? It's incredible, isn't it? Jesus' voice broke. He was speaking like this. He was suddenly went like this. What's going on? Have you ever thought, did this happen? Jesus looked at girls like this. And then suddenly looked at my ears. Do you think that's irreverent? I don't think so. Jesus was fully God and fully man. I mean, sometimes we just need to stop and think, isn't that truly awesome? The one who holds the universe together now by his powerful word. The King of Glory was 12 years old. A bit gangly and a bit weird and a bit like, oh, Jesus, look at you. But he was perfect, but he was still perfectly man. He was amazing. Isn't it amazing? And we have a picture of him aged 12 years old here. Flung the stars into space, holds the universe together, but he was a 12-year-old kid. He knows what it's like to be me. He's been there. Death of Christ, amazing. Of course it is. It's what we want to lift up across the whole nation and the nations, the cross and the resurrection. But the life of Christ is pretty amazing too, isn't it? The life of Jesus is absolutely astonishing. Age 12, Jesus and his family and his extended family, in fact, pretty much everybody from Nazareth, this little scruffy backwater in the northwest, a little more than a bunch of caves, all had to make their way, a great trek from Birmingham to Manchester. That's the distance. Now, Birmingham to Manchester can be hard work with the M6. It's a lot harder on a donkey or walking. It took several days to get there. It was a right trek, and Jewish, religious Jews were meant to go to Jerusalem 3 times for Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Everyone went for the Feast of Passover. This was the big one. Once a year, we made our way. It was a great party of extended family and community, and I don't know, was it hundreds, was it thousands of people from Nazareth all journeying together? You think, you know, when you read the story, how the heck could Mary and Joseph lose Jesus? But if you think of aunties and uncles and extended family and a great gathering, you can kind of imagine it, can't you? You can imagine setting off back to Jerusalem under a day into the trek, and Mary says to Joseph, "Oh, where's Jesus, by the way?" And Joseph says to Mary, "I thought you had him. I thought you had him. What the heck? We've lost the Son of God." Not very impressive. I remember going to Disney World with Sam and Beth when Sam was about, I don't know, 7 or 8. And And there were some reports in the press about paedophiles preying on Disney. And we went to Typhoon Lagoon. Anybody been to Typhoon Lagoon? It's like the world's best water park. It's amazing. And we're having a whale of a time. And our friend, Carl, went in for the hula hoop competition. And not only did he go in for the hula hoop competition, he won the hula hoop competition. So we were having a right good crack watching Carl doing his hula hoops in his Speedos, you know, thinking he looked fantastic. And we were all laughing. And then I said to Michelle, "Where's Sam?" Michelle said, "I thought you had him." And I'm, no, I thought you had him. No sign of Sam. And I had the most horrible half an hour running round Typhoon Lagoon, going, Sam, where's Sam? Sam, we've lost Sam, I can't believe it. Just that feeling of panic and fear. Any parents here ever had that experience? And sure enough, half an hour later, we found him with an ice cream and a lovely Disney helper, you know, and he was fine. But I was half an hour. Mary and Joseph had another full day, trucking all the way back into Jerusalem, looking everywhere, trying to find Jesus. And they finally found him with the religious leaders in the temple courts. Temple's massive in Luke. It's where the gospel ends, with the disciples in the temple courts. It's where it started with Zechariah's vision and Simeon and Anna. And it's where Jesus was. And he was there discussing with the religious leaders, all the, you know, the main guys. It was like the religious center. Of course it was Jerusalem, the temple. This is where the brainiest Old Testament theologians lived, the people who spent their entire lives studying the word and sat in the circle discussing the scriptures, is 12-year-old spotty Jesus. And they're astonished by his wisdom. How much would you have given to be sat in that circle as Jesus unveiled really what the Old Testament was all about? And told them things that they just completely missed. And these religious leaders' scales falling off their eyes as Jesus brought this. And in Jesus' day, this is how teaching went. You know, somebody would do a 5-minute talk and then we'd have, let's all discuss that. Let's ask. Any moment people could pitch in and ask questions. And it's a much better way of teaching than this. We're not going to do it this morning. We'll do it when Sam's speaking, all right. But it's a much better way, actually, than some bloke at the front speaking for 25 minutes and that we engage with the scripture. That's why, again, if I can say it, I'm excited about Here I Am. Imagine if we could see thousands of Christians just gathering. What is the calling on my life? What do I need to repent of? And how do I need to serve God's purpose in this generation? Could be amazing, don't you think? If God blesses it and favours these new things, as people just gather in small groups the way Jesus did 2,000 years ago to study the Bible. Amazing thing about being a Christian, though, is that we have the Spirit of Jesus. He's with us. That the amazing, the living God is with us. And he leads us into all truth. That's why I wanted to start off this stuff by saying about the scriptures. Have you fallen in love, not just with Jesus, but his word? I'm not talking about bibliolatry, that we idolize the Bible. We worship and love and honor Jesus. But this is his living word. And by the Spirit, he can lead us into all truth. And that experience that the religious leaders had with the boy Jesus, where they were astonished by his teaching. Have you ever been astonished by the Bible? You're reading, you're praying, and it's a word for you. Oh, God, do more of that, will you? Let us realize how delicious the word of God is. Get into it. Pray to ask God to help you. It's alive. And I don't think this generation or your generation, if I may be so bold, is that great at study. You know, so much of our input is short, sharp bursts of things. We're not good at getting away and wrestling with the word of God. And there's every suggestion, as Jesus was there in the temple, that he was having a whale of a time. I mean, the religious leaders were just blown away by the wisdom of this young kid. But he was loving it. He was absolutely loving it. Time had just stood still for Jesus, as it did on the hillside when he spent all day with his father. But, and I'm guessing he had an Old Testament open on the hillside, praying, reading the word, growing in that relationship. He was loving it. Mary and Joseph weren't. I'm sure Joseph, when he found him, wanted to absolutely batter him. Mary was crying. You caused us so much anxiety. Like 2 days we've been running around trying to find you. And all this time you've been in the temple. My son, why have you done this to us? And yet Jesus said, surely you knew. Surely you knew I'd be with the Father. Surely you knew I'd want to be with the Father. If you just thought about who I am, I'd want to be with the Father in the temple. And this is the first time Jesus uses this word for God, the Father. From here on in, every time he talks about God, he talks about him as Father, Abba. And I read this. Prince of Wales, Prince Charles. Do you know what his full title is? His full title is, it's going to take a while, this, right? Are you ready? Prince Charles' full title is His Royal Highness Prince Charles Philip Arthur George, Prince of Wales, KG, KT, KGB, OM, AK, QSQ, CC, PC, ADC, Earl of Chester, Duke of Cornwall, Duke of Rothesay, Earl of Carrick, Baron of Renfrew, Lord of the Isles, and Prince and Great Steward of Scotland. That's Prince Charles' full title. Unless your name's William or Harry, when his title is Dad. Isn't it? Unless you're his son or his daughter and it's Dad. And Jesus is saying, yes, you've known the great noble titles of the living God who lives in unapproachable awe and fear. You've known the God of the Old Testament. How about this? How about knowing him as Dad? Don't you think that's amazing? Didn't you know I had to be with my Father because I understand what a perfect relationship unfettered by sin is like? And I just want to wrestle with who he is. I want to know more about him. I want to reveal himself through his word, through his people. I want to grow in this relationship with this amazing Dad in the heavens. Before, it was Yahweh, wasn't it? A word so holy that Jewish people wouldn't even speak it. Now it's Dad. Dad will never let you down. A dad who's always there for you. A dad who's big enough and powerful enough to take us through every hassle of life. I also like, didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? Didn't you know I had to be? At this moment, I was just compelled. I was driven. I was hemmed in to my Father's house. I had to have this time with his people, in his word, time of preparation, time of discovering. And theologians have said this was the moment as they gathered round the word when Jesus fully realized his divinity, fully realized who he was. Because you're guessing that Jesus grew in that as he grew in wisdom and favor with God and man. And theologians said this is this incredible moment in the temple when I know who I am. I know who I am. And I know what my calling is. I'm the saviour of the world. My Father's my Father. And I've got a mission on my life. And for the next 18 years, we know very little of what he did. Apart from he made some tables and continued to grow in favour with God and man. Wouldn't it be amazing if we had a people who are like, I've got this total compulsion on my life. There's nothing else I can do. God, raise up a generation who have to live for you. It's not like, come on, guys, let's pray at 12 o'clock, please. We don't want Matt and Simon to be lonely. I've got to pray. Why would I want to be anyone else than in my Father's presence? I'm even going to get paid for it. God, raise up a generation who wants to study the word, not because we're passing around, you know, here's your study plan for the year. Come on, people. How are you doing? You know, we've got to get into the Bible. We have to get up early. We've got to do it because we've got a vision of the Father. God, raise up an army. I have to tell others. It's not because we're training them in advanced groups. That's just to sharpen and spur on what's already happening. An army who have to care for the poor, who God's broken our hearts with the things that break ours, break his. An army that have to stand up for what's right and stand against injustice. People who have to do that, they're compelled to do that. We don't do this because we get paid for it. We do it because it's the vision of our life and the passion of our life. We've got in the word, the Spirit of God's spoken to us, and we have to go for it. Stir up a people. Let us be those people. you want to be that kind of person? Do you want to be that kind of person who's got a vision of Jesus? He's spoken to you through his word and you go for it with everything you've got. If you do, stand up now. Let's pray for one another again. Let's just pray. Just pray, place your hand on that person next to you. Would you? Now, I want everyone prayed for and I want everyone praying. And I want you to pray, God, will you just give this person such a burning desire? It's like, I have to do what's right. I have to go. I have to serve. I have to pray. Not because it's a burden, because it's the very joy of my life and it's the call on my life. Yes, it'll cost, but what else is there worth living for? So just do that. Yep.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to check out message.org.uk to find out how you can support or even get involved with one of our teams.